Job chapter 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come, and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this."
Good morning, everybody. My name is Keith. I'm one of the ministers here. If you're new or visiting with us today, very special welcome to you. If you're checking us out after Christmas, it's great to have you here with us. As Paul mentioned, a little bit different this morning because we've got our kids in, we've got our 5 and 7 o'clock people with us, and it's great to be all together. Now, I love this time of year because it's nice and hot, and our family loves going to the beach. Anyone else like going to the beach? Hands up. Fantastic. All right, hands down. Excellent. Don't be too worried if your kids make noise while I'm talking. I actually really like that. That's normal. That's just like my house, right? So, and I've got a microphone here, so at least I get a chance to be heard here other than my house. So it's great that the kids are in. I might even need their help as we go. I love going to the beach. And of course, when you go to some of the Sydney beaches there, some of the most beautiful ones in the world, and you love just looking at the ocean. The ocean is so majestic, especially days when you get really big waves. You just think, wow, the power, the majesty, the awesomeness. In fact, I thought that when I was there, I would like to capture that. So I took a photo of the waves, and there it is. Isn't that great? You see that? How awesome, how awe. Well, you can't really get the picture here on my screen. If you blow it up a little bit more like this, you get, oh, is that guy? I didn't notice that guy in the waves, and you zoom in. But there you have it. I have the ocean kind of in my pocket. Well, I don't really, do I? The ocean is still kind of massive and vast and awesome and majestic. Even if we try and tame it and put it in our pocket, we can't really do that. And it's interesting because I think sometimes that's exactly what we try and do with God. Have you heard this expression Paul was mentioning before? OMG. Has anyone got a text with that on it or seen that on social media? Yeah, okay. Oh my God, it stands for. And I think that sometimes when we use phrases like this and, you know, turn it into pithy little summaries that you use on social media, what we can do is actually take a massive, vast, awesome, majestic God and try and tame him and put him in our pocket. And so what we want to do over January is to take him out of our pocket, take him out of the little social media phrases, and just rediscover again how massive and awesome and vast our God actually is. And so today we're starting off by looking at God as creator. And the Bible says, of course, at the start that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Whatever else happened before everything, there was God. And it was God's power in his speaking that caused everything to start and our whole existence to come into being. Now, you can dive into the kind of the science and all that sort of stuff. We don't want to do that this morning. We've done that before. If you go on our website, there's some sermons there on God and science that look into that. So if you want to have some holiday listening, you can go and have a listen to those things. What I want to do this morning, just very quickly, is look at five things that flow on from the fact that God is our creator. And I've got some objects here that might help me, and maybe ask some questions along the way and get some kids to help me. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Yeah. Come on, there we go. All right, so let's see what we've got here. My keys. Now, every now and then, I have a great day. You know, just a day where everything goes well and you think you're on top of the world. In fact, you know, a day... You know, maybe I preach a sermon at church that kind of goes okay, and some people say, thanks for that, that was really good. And I might be driving home thinking, that's great, you know, I've just nailed it, I'm feeling fantastic. Normally, whenever those moments happen, something else happens, like my car breaks down. Happens a lot, actually. It might have more to do with me than you. But in those moments, I remember that actually... I'm not the most important person in the world. At that moment, the most important person in the world to me is either the guy from the NRMA or the mechanic who's going to fix my car, okay? The first thing that flows on from the fact that God is our creator is this, that there's someone more important than you and me, okay? Even on our best days where we think everything's going well and everything I'm doing is working and I'm shaping the world around me and it's going fantastically, actually, even in those moments, despite what all the advertisers tell you, there's someone more important than you. Now, a guy in the Bible found this out in a kind of tough way. There's a guy called Job. We just heard some reading from the book of Job that's in the Bible, and Job had a really, really tough time, and he was getting pretty cranky with God for all the stuff that was happening to him, and he kept saying, God, why is this happening? Why won't you come and tell me why all these bad things are happening to me in my life? Well, he might have wished that he hadn't said that, because this is what happened. Let's have a look together. God, the Lord, spoke to Job out of the storm. He says, who is this who obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, Job. And at this stage, Job must have been going, oh, what have I done? Brace yourself like a man. I'll question you, says God, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Job's going, oh, dear. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know, Job, you're questioning me. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Yeah, so Job's going, I thought I was kind of important and God had to answer to me. Actually, God says, no, no, no. I made everything, Job. I was there when it all started. The angels sang for joy at how awesome it was. You weren't. There's someone more important than you, Job, and it's me. That's number one. There's someone more important than you. Now, what's next on my table? Oh, it's blank because it's here. I can't put this down. Now, boys and girls, who knows what this is? Can you tell me? There's a hand. Do you know what that is? Wedding ring, yes, give her a clap, she's done very well, fantastic. Now, it's funny how things like this go. In fact, something like this, you don't realise how important it is to you until you lose it. Anyone lost their wedding ring? Come on, time, confession time, it's a new year. Okay, all right, busted. We've actually got someone dobbing someone else in over here, which is quite entertaining. Very, very entertaining. Yes, there was a time when I took my wedding ring off because I was cleaning the gutters and, you know, scooping out all the muck, didn't want that in. And when I came down, couldn't find it for a couple of days. And I realised how important this thing was to me. Now, why is this important? Because it's made of gold, so it's worth a bit of money, okay? But even more importantly than that, this ring, this little thing, points to something that's very, very, very important, which is the fact that I'm married to my wonderful wife who just read the Bible for us. Okay? So this thing is valuable in itself, but even more the value comes in what it points towards. Now that's the cool thing about you and me. See, the second thing that flows from the fact that God is creator is this. Even though there's someone more important than you, you are really, really, really important. Now, why is that? If God's so important, he's the one who created everything, how could we be really important? Well, we are important because you and me, human beings, we're made in God's image. Okay, have a look at this. This is from Genesis chapter 1. God said, let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So you are very, very important in this whole creation, in this whole massive, amazing thing. In God's eyes, you are more important than the incredible ocean. You are more important than the incredible rainforests. You are more important than the incredible snow fields or the Arctic ice or any of the things that you see on Blue Planet or any of those things. You are really, really important because only human beings out of all the creation are made in God's image. Now, what does that mean? Here's some things that it means for us. Let's have a look. You're not just a random bunch of atoms. See, if you were, why would you be important? What value would you actually have? It would just be my say-so whether I'm important or not, your say-so whether you're important or not. No, our value, the real value for human beings comes from the fact that God created us to be in his image. And that means that how we treat each other really, really matters. That means how we think of people in plights worse than ours, like the refugees, really, really matters because those people are made in the image of God. Okay? Point number one, there's someone more important than you. Point number two, but you're really, really important because you're made by the Creator in his image. All right, you're doing really well. Three to go. You with me? All right, let's see what's next on the table. Oh, yes. All right. Who likes playing games in the holidays? Who likes dominating, playing Monopoly with their family? Yes. Okay. Monopoly. It's the cause of many disputes, tragedies, tears, and that's just when I'm playing. Now, the thing with games like Monopoly is that they go much, much better if you follow the rules. I've tended to notice. Now, let's just check whether... Here we go. We still have the rules, which is rare for games in our house. But you see, the one who makes the game gets to make the rules. And then the people who play the game follow the rules in order to get the best out of the game. That makes sense, doesn't it? That seems to be the way it works. The one who makes the game gets to make the rules. So that's our third thing that flows from the fact that God is creator. You're not the boss. Actually, neither am I. Okay? But saying you and I aren't the boss is a bit clumsy on the screen. So I'm just saying you. You're not the boss. I'm not the boss. We're not the boss because, as Job found out, we're not the ones who made everything. Now, Job, remember our guy Job, he's questioning God and asking, getting God to say, I want some answers from you, God, about things. Well, this is what happened when he kept continuing. Oh, no, this is Job, that's next. This is from Revelation, actually, from the last book in the Bible. This is why we find out that God's the boss. John, the apostle, has a vision of the heavens and the earth. And this is what he saw from Revelation 4. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders around the throne fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns, any authority that they have, they lay it down before God, and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Now, this is a great picture because the elders in this picture are really, really important authorities. But what do? They lay down their crowns before the God who sits on the throne, which is a symbol of power and authority. And they say, you have all the power. You're the boss because you made everything. The one who makes the game gets to make the rules. They're the boss. They're in control. They have the power. Okay? Now, what Job also found out is that because God's in control, God's the boss and we're not, we won't always know why everything happens. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more as we go through the year. Josh explored that a little bit at 8 o'clock this morning, and we've preached on that before. But the big point here is that you're not the boss, I'm not the boss. The one who makes the rules, makes the game, gets to make the rules. All right? Three things. You're not the most important. You are really, really important. You're not the boss. Fourthly, we're doing well. We've got two to go. Hang with me. What's next? Ah, yes. Here we go. Now, I'm going to blow this. So you want to... Yes. Heard a lot of this sound yesterday. We went to Manly Beach yesterday, which was probably really, really dumb. On a hot Saturday in December, Manly is the beach where all the tourists go who don't know anything. They can catch the ferry, they can walk down, they don't know how to swim, a lot of them. They all jump in the water all at the same time. Now, the great thing about Manly yesterday was that the waves were quite rough, and so the flags were about this far apart. So you had about 1,000 people trying to swim in a postage stamp in dumping waves. It was excellent. You can feel the joy. Now what happened? Because there was some dangerous kind of shelves off the side and currents and big dumping waves and all that sort of stuff, what you had was these kinds of people everywhere, crawling everywhere. They must think, oh no, hot Saturday in January, here they come. Because they were all in the water, and all of them had this. Right? Over and over and over again. Anyone else experience this at the beach? Yeah, okay. Now, you see, there's a right way to respond to the people there, and that's to listen to them and do what they're asking you to do. Why? Because they have your best interests at heart. They're not trying to ruin your day, as some of the people. Some of the looks and the responses were amazing. They just... It's actually, at one point, they got on the loudspeaker and said, yeah, mate, you're swimming in the rip. Can you get out of the rip? No, don't swim against the rip. No, see that wave, catch that wave, get out of the rip. And he's like... There's a right way to respond, okay? Now, some of the people did it. When there's an authority, when there's one who's in control, who's got your best interests at heart, the right way to respond is to listen to them, to humble yourself, saying, oh, maybe I don't know the best thing here, and to do what they say, to obey them, all right? Now, that's the same when it comes to God. God's the one who made everything. He's the most important. We're really, really important, but he's the most important, and he's the boss because he made the game, so he gets to make the rules. And so there's a right way to respond. Now, Job found this out the hard way. Here's our next passage from Job. The Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. This is God pouring more heat on Job, okay? Oh, Job, you're going to correct me, are you? Excellent. Let's see how that goes. And by this stage, Job's smashed. Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. I'm sorry I spoke. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I'll say no more. And the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can your voice thunder like his? Oh, well then adorn yourself with glory and splendor. Clothe yourself with honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath, Job. Look at all who are proud. You bring them low. Look at all who are proud. You humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. You bury them in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then, if you can do that, then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. God's saying, I'm the creator. I know best. Job found out the hard way in that circumstance. The right response is to humble himself in humility, to thank the God who made us, and to listen to him, trust him, and obey him, because he's got our best interests at heart. The right response is to trust and obey. Now, there's the four things that flow from the fact that God's the creator. We've got one more. Let's see what it is. Who's read Harry Potter? Come on, confess. Okay, lots of people. Okay, so a question for one of the kids. Who knows the author? Who wrote Harry Potter? Yes. J.K. Rowling, is she right? Yes, give her a clap. That's fantastic. Excellent work. J.K. Rowling. One of the great things about, you know, this time of year, if you've got some holidays, is a chance to read, you know, to escape into another world, that sort of thing. I've read the Harry Potters. I really like them. But here's the thing. J.K. Rowling's the creator of Harry Potter. But she can't really talk to Harry Potter, can she? She's not in his world. She can't talk to Hermione and tell her what she needs to do next to get through the wizarding exam. She can't talk to Ron. She can't get in there and say, you're doing really well, staying in there. It's going to all turn out all right. She can't do that. Our God is different. Our God came near. John 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We're talking about Jesus here, the Son, the eternal Son, created everything. He's the author. But unlike J.K. Rowling, he wasn't stuck in a different realm from us. Look what happened. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The author entered the story. You know, in the early 20th century, there was an author by the name of Dorothy Sayers, a British author, and she used to write detective novels. And the hero of her novels was a single male who used to solve the crimes, but she would write him, and this detective would often be lonely as she wrote him. He was a lonely figure, even as he was very successful at solving the crimes. Now, Dorothy Sayers herself, as the author, was a professor, and she taught in a university, and she wrote these detective novels on the side. Now, she described herself, these were her own words to describe herself, as being very plain-looking and quite large. Okay, they were her own words to describe herself. Now, something interesting happened. The readers of her novels discovered something. After a few novels, a new character entered into the storylines. It was a woman who was a professor and who wrote detective novels on the side and described herself as being plain-looking and large. And the readers worked out that the author had written herself into the story. And what happened? That character fell in love with the main character and ended his loneliness. And friends, that's what our God has done for us. He has written himself into the story to meet our deepest need of being loved, of being valued, of being saved. John 1 Here we go. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. Though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the most exciting thing that I'm going to say all morning. Our God, the Creator, came near. He wrote himself into the story in the person of Jesus, so that if you come to him, if you put your trust in him, you'll be part of God's story forevermore. You'll be part of the family of God. You'll be in the presence of that majesty, of that glory, of that power, and that one will be your friend. He will be your God. He will embrace you for all eternity. Isn't that incredible? So the next time you hear or see OMG, you think, yes, oh my God, that he is the boss, that he is the one who gets to make the rules, that he is the most important one, yet that most important one came near, wrote himself into the story that we might know him and feel his love forever. Praise be to that God. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who's in control, that you are the most important one of all because you made everything. Father, help us to respond rightly, to come to you in humility and thankfulness. Help us to trust you, to listen to what you say, to trust that you have the best for our lives in the way you've set out the rules of the game. And thank you that you came near to us in your Son Jesus, that you wrote yourself into the story that we might know you, that we might know your love both now and forevermore. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.